We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Over the weekend at his annual basketball camp, James Harden addressed the media. He was asked about Chris Paul and the relationship. We're going to play this sound for you. And as you listen to it, I want you to ask yourself this question. Are you buying it?
Chris has been unbelievable these last 2 years. He's helped me as a leader, as a mentor, just all that good stuff. I mean, I guess it's life. And it's the business, how just things don't work out, you know. And so he's a great dude. I have nothing to say about negative to say about him. He's a beast.
Rick, I didn't even bring my wallet out. I didn't even reach for my wallet in the back pocket, baby. I ain't buying it, man. Look, I mean, here's the deal. Is I understand that athletes in all sports, right, in all sports have disagreements. I got into it with my receivers. I got into it with my offensive linemen. You get into it in the heat of the battle. You adjust and you move on. And there's no doubt about it that happens and may have happened in Houston throughout their time together. But here's what's blatantly obvious if you watch the Rockets at all, which I watched the Rockets more this year than I've ever watched any basketball ever. And we know with your 17 years in NBA TV, hell, you watched it, you covered it, you chased it, you did everything with it, right? This was more than a disagreement, man. I mean, this is, I'm the quarterback. I got the best arm in the business. I'm a Hall of Fame quarterback. And you want me to turn around and hand the rock off to the running back 75% of the time every single game on Sunday. And that doesn't work. At some point, as a quarterback, me and my receivers are going to go to the coach and go, hey, man, this stuff ain't working. At some point, I'm going to balk. At some point, I'm going to bitch about the fact that this style, this approach is not working. And in this case, it's basketball. It's basketball. There's five guys on the floor. It all plays out right in front of us. Everybody that knows anything about basketball knows there's two ball-dominant players. One of them's a Hall of Fame point guard, and one of them's the most ball-dominant player in the league at this point in time. And there's only one basketball, and they did not share it well in critical times. Now, when Harden wasn't on the floor, Paul did a hell of a job. Right? When they were on the floor together and it wasn't crunch time, it wasn't an important game, it wasn't a big game, who cares who went and got buckets? Who cares who had the ball, right? It was obvious late in the season. It was obvious in crunch time. It was obvious in the playoffs that was not just a disagreement. That was a scheme issue that resulted in a Hall of Fame point guard not having control of the team and the ball. That was more than a disagreement. I'm not buying, Tricky Rick.
I'm not buying it either. You mentioned who cares who scores the winning basket at the end of the game. Chris Paul cares, right? Should he? No. But he's an alpha male, an alpha dog, as we say, future Hall of Famer. He's in the top 10 point guards of all time. So we talked about this a little bit earlier. How are Russell Westbrook and James Harden going to work? And we're going to get to that in just a moment. Sacrifice. That's how it's going to work. Sacrifice for the greater good. Chris Bosh had to sacrifice in Miami to let James and Wade do their thing. Boom, they get two championships. Kevin Love had to make even more of a sacrifice to let Kyrie Irving and LeBron James do their thing. He got a damn ring. Oh, and by the way, he got all the money too. Max years, max money for Kevin Love. So the sacrifice paid off for him. Chris Paul was not willing to make that sacrifice, Clint, of James Harden show again. Oh my God. Eye roll, shoulder shrug.
Do you blame
pout it up, the whole
Do you
thing.
Blame
yes.
Me? Why though,
because
Rick?
Because you're late in your career, Clint, and you are not that badass
but
anymore.
You can't tell
you're
him
no
that.
Longer
that
a first can't... team all NBA point then guard.
But Rick, if he's gotta approach this thing as this. What you're doing is not working. Like Harden dominating the ball and not showing up in big moments. It was not working. Or are you of the group who's like, well, You know what? They were the best team against the Golden State Warriors during Golden State's dynasty. They were the best team.
Well, that certainly is a factor. I mean, this is one of the greatest teams of all time.
The
Warriors team is one of the greatest teams of all time.
Rick, but I'm talking from a I'm trying to put myself in Chris Paul's shoes.
Okay.
I'm Chris Paul, I'm going, damn, man, this ain't working. Let me get a shot.
Let me turn it around for you. What the hell has Chris Paul ever done that's been clutch?
Well, no, I can't.
We talk about James Harden. We talk about James Harden, and he's not as good in the clutch. You know, the game against San Antonio where he was tired and just stunk in the sea, all that stuff. We know that James Harden, in the biggest games of all, has come up short. And that's kind of his legacy. He's got this legacy of being an amazing player and an MVP and one of the greatest offensive players of all time. He's also is a part of that legacy. He's not the clutchest dude of all time. But that's a huge part of Chris Paul's legacy as well. 2010 point guard, future first ballot Hall of Famer. All of that is true. But Chris Paul, it's a missed free throw here. It's a turnover there. How about 2 years ago against Golden State? You're up 3-2. Chris Paul gets hurt. How many times have we talked about that? Availability is a skill. And it's a skill that Chris Paul wasn't that good at and still isn't that good at. So if Chris Paul were this amazing clutch performer who like had 8 signature game-winning clutch shots in the playoffs and he wanted the rock from Harden, I'm listening to you. But Chris Paul was never that guy.
So Rick, he carried him in that Golden State series when he got hurt. I mean, in fact, anybody that I've ever talked to about that series says if Chris Paul wouldn't have got hurt, they would have won the series that year.
Well, and I disagree with that.
I don't know if they'd have won the championship, but they would have beat Golden State that year.
I don't necessarily agree with that because what people don't remember is that Andre Iguodala was out for Golden State.
Well, Draymond Green missed a critical game then too, didn't he?
So, but my point is
that was in the championship.
Yeah. In the West Finals 2 years ago, Houston up 3-2. Nobody talks about that Andre Iguodala was out for Golden State.
Right.
So everybody just says, oh, well, they would have won if Chris Paul would have been healthy. Maybe, but I'm not taking that to my grave.
Right. Well, and look, I got you off the beaten path right there. I didn't mean to do that to you. Back to what we were talking about. I think we got off path just trying to talk Chris Paul. That wasn't the point. The point was if I am Chris Paul and I'm a Hall of Fame point guard, I'm competitive as hell, and I'm playing in a system, regardless of what everybody else thinks of me, if I'm playing in a system and what we're doing, I'm sacrificing touches. Like I'm a Hall of Fame point guard. I'm not getting to control the team and dominate the ball like I'm used to. Not saying it's right or wrong. Not saying that I believe he should have. I'm saying if I'm Chris Paul, that bothers me.
Yeah.
And it really bothers me.
And I understand that.
And it really gets under my skin when it's not good enough to take me to the championship.
And I get all of
that. So that was my only point behind it. But I tell you what, Rick, let's get to a point. I mean, let's talk about a relationship that really matters, right? Let's talk about, we've talked about it. Let all these hot takes get the hell out of the way, right? Westbrook's been here for a week plus. How will they, Harden and Westbrook coexist, and can they win a championship doing it?
Yes, and I'm really excited for this merger in Houston because, as you have mentioned, what the Rockets had wasn't good enough. And you know what, y'all? It wasn't going to be good enough this year, even with Golden State, with an injured Klay Thompson, and without Kevin Durant. It wasn't going to work. Running it back would have maybe gotten Houston to the second round or the West Finals. I don't believe that it was bringing a gold ball and a parade and champagne showers here to Houston. Now you go get Russell Westbrook, and you say, well, Russell Westbrook's never won a championship. You're right about that. But he has never played with a guy like James Harden who he wanted to play with. Is Kevin Durant better than James Harden? You betcha. There's no debate about that. But Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook were oil and water the entire time they played together. It was always the complaints when we were, you know, working at NBA TV and with TNT was always, who's taking the shot at the end of the game? And if you recall, all those years in OKC was Russell Westbrook jacking up some crazy, stupid, contested shot with Kevin Durant over here clapping his hands with one-on-one coverage, right? What are you doing? You just lost the game, right? Now, let's bring it full circle. That's because Russ and KD had this alpha dog competitive thing, right? Where you think it's your rock? It's mine. Oh, we might lose if I miss this shot? To hell with it, man. It's my shot. It's my turn. That was the mentality there. But it's going to work, Clint, because these guys want to be together. They are actually friends. They're actually going to work in a collaboration rather than, You know, it's your turn, it's my turn, it's your turn, it's my turn. They're going to work together to beat the Lakers and the Clippers and the Jazz and the Nuggets and all and the Warriors and all of these other teams. That is the key part. It's the intangible of them being buddies.
Respect and chemistry is powerful. Absolutely powerful. I couldn't agree with you more, man. I just when if that respect and that chemistry that you're talking about is truly there, which I believe you because you've been behind the ropes in the NBA, on the court in the NBA, I believe you. If that is the case, then I am a firm believer in respect and chemistry. Can I hit you with one more, though?
Yeah, hit me.
I watched Capella, whether it's disappearing or not be ready for the moment or be streaky, be up and down, whatever it may be, he got exposed in the Golden State Series. He didn't bring to the table the same, what was it, 16 points, 12 rebounds that he averaged throughout the season, one of very few players to ever do that in NBA history. He didn't bring that same type of consistency and same type of ball when the stage was the biggest and their lights were the brightest, okay? And so you bring in, was it Tyson Chandler?
Correct.
You bring in Tyson Chandler, okay? I'm a big fan of Tyson Chandler. I've heard over and over again over the last 4 or 5 years about his intangibles. I'm sure you've heard it over the last 17 years.
No question.
His intangibles are through the roof. I'm a big believer in keeping surrounding your talent with big-time intangibles, right, even if they're aging players. Is that group enough? What's your take on Capella at this point in time? Talk to my Rockets fans about Capella at this point in time, and is it enough? And then on the flip side of that, Tyson Chandler – Capella duo, is that enough in the paint to take this team to the next level?
All right, Clint, first of all, Clint Capella is still a youngish developing player.
Are you concerned?
I'm not concerned.
Okay.
I'm not concerned. The fact that a player had a bad playoff series and quote-unquote got exposed, players that care and give a damn, and I know that Clint Capella gives a damn because – when Adam Silver announced his name on draft night, we were like, who in the blue hell is Clint Capella? I've never heard of it. Late first round pick, right? So we're like, who is this guy? A lot like Pascal Siakam of Toronto, they just won a championship. He worked his butt off every day honing his craft to get where he is. And Clint Capella's done the same thing. So I know he cares. I know he will put in the work. I know he will try to fix what was wrong in that Golden State series. And in terms of Tyson Chandler, by the way, like the Clint Capella thing, how many guys in the league hover around 2010 with two or three or four shot blocks a game? You can count them on one hand. Literally, like the double-double guys with the two-plus blocks, with Clint, which Clint Capella is, they're extremely rare. So even if it was like one bad matchup against one dominant dynastic team, I'm shrugging my shoulders over that. I'm not labeling him and defining him based on that one series. Tyson Chandler, obviously, Clint, he is up there in years. He is 36 years old right now.
Long in the tooth, baby.
He's very long in the tooth. However, he was still a productive player last year for the LA Lakers. He played 48 games for them. He started six. He averaged 5.6 rebounds in 16 minutes. He was also at a half block per game. So you double that up to 32 minutes. That's still about 1.5 block, 10 rebound per game guy. You see what I'm saying? If you extrapolate the minutes out to starters minutes, and of course he would never play starters minutes, I'm just giving you some stats. It's not like he averaged 1 point and 1.5 rebounds in 15 minutes a game last year, like some dead man hanging on for dear life. He's not a dead man. He is going to help Clint in what? 15 minutes a game, 16 minutes a game. Capella gets in foul trouble. Capella turns an ankle. Tyson Chandler's going to, there's more is going to be asked about him. So yes, it's a very good, shrewd pick. But the probably the biggest aid that he is going to present for Clint Capella is mentoring him.
I love it. That's exactly where I was fixing to go. Some of my favorite, which I'm a big fan of this guy, Kevin Garnett. Some of my favorite audio documentary style film of the Celtics when they were winning it all and they were making the run with Paul Pierce and those guys was the intangibles that Kevin Garnett brought to the team. And it just changed the way they approached practice. It changed the way they approached every day, and it made them the team that they are. I can't remember who. I think it was Joe Klein maybe played on that team. Did Joe Klein, was he still around playing on that team back then?
On that Boston team?
On that Boston team.
You remember Kendrick Perkins?
Yeah, I remember Kendrick Perkins. But I want to
I don't think Klein was on that team.
We talked to some. I don't think Klein was still playing. I think he was retired by that time. But Joe Klein's an Arkansas guy, so I talked to him a lot. Somebody that was on the inside with that gave me a little insight on Kevin Garnett. It was some of the coolest information ever, but it was essentially the same deal where he's clearly a far more talented guy than Tyson Chandler ever will be, but that same demanding greatness out of your teammates is kind of some of the same stories that I've heard about Tyson Chandler. I'm not putting him in Garnett's category, obviously, but that guy that brings that to the table can help develop these young dudes at a whole nother level, man. I mean, I'll tell you what, another one. Any stock in these guys? Gordon has come out and said that he's not going to play on the USA team for the World Cup, right? I mean, is that in the basketball that Harden?
Thank God.
Harden came out.
Eric Gordon is an oft-injured player. Right. We do not need him exposed to injury in the World Cup.
For obvious reasons, we had that conversation. But, like, when you think about that, Harden's out, Gordon's out. P.J. Tucker appears to still be on the team and still be going attending practice. Do you put any stock? What is that? Do you look into that any other than they're just not going to play? Or is that the team maybe taking the offseason a little more serious about getting together and chemistry and stuff?
All right. So I did read that Ben Simmons, and I'm going to get off topic here for just a second to make my point. Ben Simmons just got 5 years and 170 from the Philadelphia 76ers to flirt with triple doubles and miss every free throw and every jump shot and never take threes, okay? I'm not a fan, by the way. Get your butt in the gym and work on your freaking shot, okay? This is the NBA we're talking about, but he relies on his skill and his God-given abilities, and he thinks that's enough. So he has said no to Australia for the World Cup. Here's why. He is a what-can-the-game-do-for-me guy, Ben Simmons of the 76ers. He doesn't love the game. Like, he might love it, the trappings of it, the cash, the mansions, the chicks, the Lamborghinis, all that I bet he loves. He doesn't love waking up at 4:45 a.m. and getting your butt in the gym and shooting 2,000 jump shots. Definitely does not love that. If he did, we'd see a difference in his game. So he, I believe, is playing the selfish card. I'm just doing me. My off season, I've been grinding, blah, blah, blah. Me. That's why he's saying no to Australia. Eric Gordon and help me out.
James Harden.
And James Harden saying no to the great Jerry Colangelo, my buddy, the executive director of USA Basketball Hall of Famer. Them saying no to him is not selfish like Ben Simmons. Okay. James Harden, by the way, has already delivered a gold medal in the Olympics and a gold medal in the World Cup. Okay? Check the box. Don't holla at me anymore. I've done my service for my country. I've pulled my weight. But Eric Gordon is an injury-prone player. Throughout his career, and he's extremely talented. He's a knockdown three-point shooter, better defender than he's given credit for, all that stuff. But he's an injury-prone player. We don't need him out there exposed to injury in that sort of situation. So it's actually, to compare it to Simmons again, it's not selfish. What it is selfless, because they're all about the Rockets and they're all about winning the gold ball in 2020. That's what they have their eye on.
And does it tell you that this team may be pulling this team a little closer than what they've been in the past? You got two guys now that have decided to turn it down, and I think both of them have alluded to the fact that they're gonna dedicate time to chemistry essentially and getting used to the new look Rockets. And
it's a great call.
So yeah, man. I mean that's you like to hear that from your basketball team in the off season, if that is what they're gonna do is pull out of the what is it, the World Cup?
Yeah, it's the it used team. To be called the World Championship of Basketball. Now it's called the World Cup because of course everything has to be a World Cup.
That's
now.
Right.
Even though it's soccer and it's kind of stolen here by basketball.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.